Today, I'm going to talk about something that is, I call it the dirty little secret. I'm going to talk about attitude today. Now, where would the motivational speakers be without this subject? Those guys that they hired to come in to speak to the teams, the NFL teams, before they go and play the big game. You know that happens. Now, they get a special motivational speaker to come in and get them wound up. They spend a lot of money on that. Zig Ziglar sold a bunch of books. A guy that used to be in a glass building out in California in another life, preaching there on Sundays that isn't anymore, sold a lot of books and a lot of airtime talking about positive thinking. And the root of that is attitude. Attitude. This week, has attitude affected anything in your life? You parents, have you said anything directly to one of your offspring in relation to attitude this week? You know, was it your attitude stinks, or you better change your attitude, or I'm going to change something else? Those either-or statements, any of those? Are you following me here with this thing of attitude? Okay. Now, if you have your Bible, if you turn with me, we're going to look at two passages today. One is in Romans chapter 12, and the other one's in Philippians chapter 2. Let's pray. Lord, now I ask you that you'll speak to us and speak through us. We'll understand what you have to say to us today. Holy Spirit, you're welcome in this place today. Come. Come speak to our heart. I want to thank you for that great time of worship in music this morning that we experienced, Lord. Our hearts at times just seem like they ascend to the mountaintop with you in that. And we bless you. Now, God, teach us in the Word. Let us hear what you want to say to us today. In the name of Yeshua, the Son of God, we make this prayer. Amen. Now, I'm going to read verses 1 and 2. And then I want to relate these. But before I do, I read those, I want to give to you some common attitude lies. Listen to these. You ever heard these or used these? Well, that's just the way I am. Well, you know, what comes up comes out. I can never change. This is who I am. You know, I just couldn't help it. Or how about this one? I wish I could be different. That may be the most damning one of all. It feigns humility. And the root of it is you've already decided. Or maybe this one. And there may be a little bit of truth to this one. I just don't know how to change. All right. Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you would present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. You want the definition of worship? There it is, right there. There it is. Presenting yourself before God. That means you've bowed to Him in everything on a daily basis. We tend to think of worship always in the context of a bunch of people in a building singing together. You know, what is that song, When Music Fades? All that slips away. Is there any worship then? There better be. What he's talking about here is a worship that is a life and a lifestyle that brings honor and glory to God, that would cause people to stop and give glory to God. A life that would do that. What you say, what you do, who you are, your being. I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Hardest one in the world. We talked about that before because they keep crawling off the altar. Have they been sacrificed? Acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And then get this. He goes right into this. He says, do not be conformed. Do not be of the same form as this world. He's just talked about worship. Now he's talking about worshiping the Lord, honoring Him for who he is in the earth, what He has done, what He's doing in our lives, what He wants to do, honoring Him for all that He is. And now he moves right in and he says, and on the other hand, don't be conformed to the world. You see, he's showing what the battle is, what the tension is, what the God and the not God line is. That is here. That is a tension that is there all the time, isn't it? When you decide that when you're here on Sunday morning, you decide you're going to do something differently this week. You make a decision. God leads you about it, and you leave out of this place, or you're in your life group, and y'all have had a time of prayer, and God speaks to you, and you make a decision. This is going to be different in my life. Or you're in your quiet time, and the Lord speaks to you out of His Word and a truth, and He says something to you that you know is from Him, and He wants you to change something in your life, and you leave that. When you go to do that, whatever it is that God has led you to do, do you ever experience any opposition? Huh? Yeah, immediately. You know, and sometimes it's waiting at the door for you. Immediate opposition. You know, and of course that's the source of that great statement that kind of describes that feeling, no good deed deserves to go unpunished. That you feel that at times. Now, that's not the truth. That's a lie. But that's how people feel. That's how we feel. That's how I feel sometimes. The opposition that there's there. So, immediately, out of worship, the lofty idea of worship and sacrificing ourselves. And then he says, practically speaking, and do not be of the same form, conform, same form as the world. Because what is the world giving itself over to? Who's the prince of the world? Satan, prince of the power of the air. He's in charge at last, right now. All those egos that are rubbing up against each and every one today, that all the tail twisting that's going on right now, all the stuff that's happening in the world, I mean, there's a plot and a plan that is behind it. Recognizing that. So, do not be conformed of the same form as the world, but be transformed. It is, this word comes from a root word from which we get our word metamorphosis. A life that is changed. It's like a when that caterpillar turns into a butterfly. You got it, Daniel. That's the miracle working power of the Lord. Now, follow here with me, because I don't want you to miss this. Because I'm going to make a distinction today between positive thinking and rah-rah good attitude and the power of God and having a good attitude through Him. Be transformed, he says. Have a metamorphosis by the renewing. And literally that word is another new. By the renewing of your mind. Now, we see a lot of practical things in our society with groups that have had success. There are positive thinking people that have had success. Their books are great. They're great motivational speakers. There are some of the coaches who coach football teams, basketball teams, baseball teams. I mean, they're such great motivational speakers. I mean, they're after they get people in a room, I mean, they leave there ready to charge hell with a water pistol. I mean, they're that kind of motivational speaker. But there's a root of truth in what they're talking about attitude. But what he's talking about here is a transformation of the mind. AA uses, I don't know if they ever used this in one of their books. It's been a long time since I read the big book, the 12-step book. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands how many of y'all read that, but there are some of you in this room that have read that book. And God has blessed you through those 12 steps. The reason why those 12 steps are a blessing is that they are rooted in spiritual and biblical truth. That is the basis of that. And, I mean, you read the history of that and see where that came from, and you'll know that. That's why it kind of aggravates me when I hear people dissing that. And I say, hey, man, show me some results from other people that, I mean, you see what God has used with that. But they use a phrase. And here's the phrase, stinking thinking. That's where it comes from. It comes from AA. Stinking thinking. Which means you have been conformed to the world, and it's going to take you back to destruction, to death. Because at last, in the case of the alcoholic, what is at the end of the road if he follows the logical, or she follows the logical sequence of where alcohol is taking them? Death. You die. It will kill you. You follow the logical progression of where the world's thinking will take you and the world's wisdom today, and where does it take you? Death. Separation. It's God and not God. You see the dichotomy here. You follow me so far? Okay. But be transformed, be metamorphized by the renewal of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Okay. So, when we live out that life, what does that do? That proves to us, to the world, and to all the spiritual entities, all the angels of heaven, all the devils of hell, all the demons, Satan himself, it proves the will of God. Which gets us back to verse 1, which is God's plan and purpose for the entire world is that one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that He is Lord with everything in their lives. Remember what's it? I beseech you that I learned it in the King James, excuse me. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your lives a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service of worship. So, do you see the cyclical nature of those first two verses? He's just taken you in a circle and brought you right back to worship. That by your attitude, you're going to prove who you're worshiping, who you're giving honor to, who you're giving glory to, by what you say and by what you do and what people see who you are. And even more than what you say and what you do, who you are. That's why when it comes to the Sermon on the Mount, you may remember a sermon we preached on the Sermon on the Mount years back, but they're called, that first part of the Sermon on the Mount are called the Beatitudes. They're not the do attitudes. They're not the act attitudes. They're the be attitudes because you can change the trappings on the outside and yeah, you can walk that way for a while. But eventually what's on the inside, the being of who you are, is going to jump out, isn't it? Eventually, it's going to happen. So to get to the root of something, you've got to get to the attitude. You've got to get to the base. You've got to get to the motivation. What's happening within a person. Okay. You understand these two verses? All right. So, the dirty little secret about attitude. Let me give you a few things to think about before we get to Philippians 2. Our attitude has a direct link to our motivation, which has a direct link to what our worldview is, which has a direct link to who we really are on the inside. What's some attitudes that come up from time to time? Sometimes you can see an attitude of manipulation. You ever walked in that store on that car lot or anywhere where someone is selling something and felt the manipulation begin before you even get there? Huh? You know what I'm talking about? Or that could even be in some teacher or preacher that you feel like is selling you a bill of goods. And you feel that manipulation. That's an attitude. Can't you sense people's attitude from time to time? That manipulation. Or maybe it's an attitude of control that comes from a person. Now I want y'all to know, before I say any of the rest of this, what I said, if you feel somebody doing a tap dance on your toes, it ain't me. Mine are bruised and bloody after this. But this is right where we live, isn't it? Our attitude. Attitude with our family members. You know, what goes on when we think no one is looking? What attitude do people in our family and those closest to us get from us? There's some of you sitting here today that grew up with an attitude of guilt that was put on you all the time. false guilt. That people tried to motivate you in your life by guilt. And let me tell you, guilt is a motivational tool that runs out of gas real fast when put under the pressure of real life, because it doesn't work. Because at last, they'll give up the ship. You won't have them very long. You can only manipulate them so far with guilt. Our attitudes sometimes become a self-fulfilling prophecy, don't they? I tell you, you say something over a child long enough, and after a while, that child's going to believe it. You say it over an adult long enough, and after a while, they're going to believe it. I mean, look at all those. I was looking at a picture a couple weeks ago, the aerial view of Jonestown in Guyana after they all drank the Kool-Aid. You know, personal eyewitness, I read the account. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Remember Jim Jones? You know, 900 people, over 900 people, dead, laying out there under that open-air thing and into the woods. They said most of the people did it voluntarily. Now, some did it at gunpoint. And then the ones who had the guns, they did it last. But so people say, well, I can't be talked into something. Attitudes, yes, it does. It matters a lot. There's a lot. Our attitude sets the tone for life, for the way we live life, and how we affect others. Question on that. How's your attitude affecting the people around you? Let me ask you, are there some people you just dread to be around? Because you know what it's going to be when they get there. It's going to be drag you down, wear you out. You don't have any family members like that, do you? Huh? Well, you can change your friends, but you can't change your family members. So you need some power, don't you? Okay. A third thing. Now, I believe Lexi deserves a hand for that one. That was great. She got her money's worth on that sneeze. And for those of you that will listen to this in delayed broadcast, it's just like we're sitting around the kitchen table. Third thing, your attitude shows the condition of your soul, doesn't it? Back to those two verses. That's essentially what Paul was saying there as he wrote to the Romans. That as he cycles back and he said, yeah, we're to live our lives as a service of worship, sacrificially unto the Lord. And then he says, and by the way, don't be conformed to the world. Don't let your attitude become one conformed to the world. Because your attitude will show your soul. See, we in Western thought, we want to continue to want to think that we can live out a life that speaks of not God and verbally have a life that is of God. And the truth is, one is telling the truth about the other. Do you follow me? Fourth thing. Often, our attitude arrives before our words or our actions. You can just feel it sometimes, can't you? It gets there. It arrives. When you know someone is going to have a sorry attitude, or, on the other hand, you know what your reaction has been, and you know what your attitude has been, and this is the dirty little secret, and that you, it's like you're the person with the best seat in the house, and you know you're facing this conflict that is coming or this situation with this person, and you know that your attitude stinks, and you walk right into it, and you do nothing to change your attitude. Self-fulfilling prophecy. It's as if you gave up back here knowing, well, I know that I'm going to misbehave badly when we come into this. Have you been there? You better all have your hands up because you have. You've done it. We've done it. That's sin. It's deciding ahead of time. There'll be failure. Number five. Attitude is a window to your soul. And when people look through that, what are they seeing? What attitude do they see? In fact, if you looked at your attitude and then looked at your relationships with people, the ones you have problems with, the ones that everything's right with, I believe you would find a key to what governs success and failure in those relationships. So, what are you saying, Dusty? Oh, it's not what I'm saying. Let's go to Philippians chapter 2. I'm going to begin reading verse 1, but we're going to really take notice we begin verse 5. So if there be any encouragement in Christ, any incentive of love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection or sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Is anything in that what I just read that's about attitude? Every bit of it. Every bit of it. Do nothing from selfishness or conceit, but in humility count others better than yourselves. You know, back to what Paul says in Ephesians about submitting ourselves one to another in the fear of Christ, in the awe, in the reverence of Christ. Let each one of you, verse 4, look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. Is your attitude a me attitude? Or is it a God attitude? And then he says this, have this mind among yourselves, which you have in Christ Jesus. So here's the attitude we're supposed to have. Listen to what he says. Who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. He came and presented himself. In reality, he was who he was. I am who I am. We see that back in that is what Moses heard at the burning bush. So he was real to himself. He was not lying about his identity, about who he was. And let me stop here just a second. How many problems in your life about your attitude with people in your family and with others would go away today if you would quit trying to be somebody that you're not. Somebody that you think, oh, they expect me to be this, and this one expects me to be this. This one, why not be the person God called you to be? And simplify your life. And not, I'm this way with this one, I'm this way with this one, and and you've just divided your life. You've become schizoid in your spirituality. Is that a word? I don't know. The English guy says it is. Okay. All right. Who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself. This is this idea of somehow setting aside certain prerogatives of God, though he was all God and all man at the same time. And that's a mystery that I cannot explain to you. As he walked in flesh, the Word of God became flesh. I can't explain all the theology of that and the understanding of that, but I accept it as true. But he emptied himself. He humbled himself. There you go. 2 weeks ago, right here, talking about humility, humbling yourself. And he took on the form of a servant. A servant. Living your life. I'm not talking about slavery to man. I'm talking about a servant of God. There's a big difference. Because a servant of God, it's not just going to pat people's head with what they think they want. You think they want to hear. That servant is going to be real with people. Real with each other. Though being born in the likeness of men. You see, this was happening, and Jesus showed us how to live out an attitude of gratitude. Dane talked about that last week, this thankfulness. Living that out, even though we're in flesh. See, a lot of us have accepted this Greek false theology that says, oh, I live my spiritual life up here, but everything in the flesh is evil. That's not true. He wants to bring us into a unity where we're living out in the flesh that attitude, that servanthood. An attitude of servanthood. Being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. This whole idea of obedience, an attitude in life of obedience to God. What would happen today if Jesus started calling the shots through the power of the Holy Spirit in your life instead of you deciding what's good for you or what's good for your family? That means a step of faith. That means things you don't understand. That means he's leading you to places, to step into places where, ooh, we hadn't been there before. Well, you know what? The truth is, we haven't. So you're going to take the step. Do you want to take the step into tomorrow with Jesus and his attitude or without? Based on your own idea of what truth is. Therefore, on the basis of all that, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him a name which is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue would confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. So what's that got to do with us? We're his brothers. We are the children of the Father. And we think that all the time God's wanting to push us down when really what he's after is to raise us up so that we can walk with him in a simple lifestyle, not complicated, where our attitude is given over to him. Think of how many things would change in your life today if your attitude changed. What would change about your family, about your marriage, about your job? Because your attitude slips through. This guy was trying to sell me something one time. And it was a car. It was a vehicle. And at first I thought, hey, he's just trying to snow me with this and that. And he got to talking about it. And you know, as he began talking about it, I realized he knew what he was talking about. He knew about the vehicle that he was trying to sell me. In fact, I found out he had studied this. But you know what sold me on it? Eventually, I bought it. He drove one himself. You got it? What's your attitude today? What's your attitude about life? And see, that gets back to who you believe is in charge. Is it you or is it God? You say, I just can't help this. Yes, you can. I just had to say that. No, you didn't. You know, it just came out. It doesn't have to. When they come around, I just feel... No, you don't have to. You see, God has given you a prerogative of choice. You get to choose. Well, they make me feel... No, they don't. No, they don't. You choose. Well, I'm unhappy because... No. Happiness is a choice. You choose. What will you choose? What will you choose? You see, let me illustrate this very, very well. Most of you are sitting here today because you believe that you are blood-bought, twice-born, and glory-bound, right? The power of the blood of Jesus. You believe Jesus, that you could die right now, bingo, bango, you're right in His presence, right? Absent from the body, present with the Lord. You're going to hear that tomorrow morning. Again, Ms. Gray's funeral. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. You know that. You're not going to go to heaven. You're already on your way. You believe that, right? You have staked your life upon that. Most of the world doesn't believe that, do they? They think you're full of it. They think that's just a bunch of hooey. Now, that's what you staked your eternity on, right? That is your attitude about eternity. Man, if someone came up to you on the street and said, oh man, right now, gun to your head, you know, aren't you going to be scared about your eternity? And said, no, I'm just going to get to heaven faster than some other people. Because there's no threat there. At last, there's no threat for an eternal separation, right? Now, that's the way you live future. How about right now? How about letting that same attitude become the attitude of your everyday life? And not just a future thing, pie in the sky by and by when you die, but how about some pie right now? How about living it right now? How about an attitude that shows the glory of God? How about an attitude that brings the love of Jesus everywhere you go? I'm not talking about mamby-pamby, Casper milk-toasty kind of love of Jesus, stuff that's watered down, that kind of, oh, let's all get together and sing Kumbaya, you know, and everything's good. And no, it's looking at the world's situation saying, man, it's going to hell in a handbasket. We need Jesus, and we need Him now. We need Him in our business. We need Him in our home. We need the power of God to do what we can't do. That's the difference between what some of these other positive thinkers would say. They'd say, oh, think positively, and I'm going looking for the power to think positively because what I want to think has something to do with a 44 Magnum when someone comes around me, you know, that just gets on my nerves. That, you know, that there are times, there are people. You know how many people get on your nerves like that? That just... You just make you grit your teeth at times, and you endure that. I'm just trying to be honest here today. Now, some of this might be a little too much honesty for you. But you think those thoughts. You say, oh, no, I don't want to be. And you're pushing that away. But I want you to know that if I have to depend on my power, I don't have the power to live that life. I've got to have the wind from elsewhere. I've got to have a power that is not of me. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. I've got to have the mind of Christ upon me to control my anger, to control my fear, to control everything in me that would live out a life that is not God. And just so you know, we're in good company. Why don't you read Romans chapter 7? Why don't you read and see what the Apostle Paul, oh, we extol him as the greatest Christian ever lived. But look at the Apostle Paul, and he says there, and this is the saved Paul that said this. The things I want to do, I can't do. Things that I don't want to do, I do. Why? Because of the sin that dwells within me. Attitude. And then he says in Romans chapter 8, there is now therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh. Man. But after the Spirit. You know what? I'm praying for Mahmoud Ahmadinejad to get saved. Wouldn't that upset the Arab world today? The Muslim world today? Wouldn't it just, you know, you talk about turning something on its head. Talked to a friend of mine the other day who had just come back from Israel. And all these testimonies of how... rabbis are being saved over there or are coming to Yeshua. And I read another thing the other day. You know, the prime minister, Bibi Netanyahu, I read the stuff that he writes and stuff that he says sometimes. And I'm wondering in some ways if Bibi might be a closet believer. So I'm looking at the world and I'm saying, God, I choose to see where your power is working. My attitude is I'm going to fix my mind on what you're doing in the world, and I'm going to pray for the rest of the world to come to you. You see that? What an attitude that. It's not some Pollyanna pretending that evil doesn't exist, pretending that there's no devil, that there are no demons, that there's no evil being perpetrated on the world. It's not doing that. It's recognizing that, but recognizing it and that Jesus is overall. And that's why at the end of this thing about this mind being you, he says, and one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is to the glory of God the Father. Do you get me? Understand? So what's going to be different this week? Here's a prescription for you. You'll be motivated right now. Already some things you thought about. You know, Lord, I got some stinking thinking in these places in my life. All right? Recognize those. I want to change. Pray for the power of the Holy Spirit for you to act according to His way. Be honest with the people who are in your life who love you and can pray for you and know you. If you don't have people like that, you need to get some. There's some available who walk with you. And be honest before God in your prayer. You know, sometimes I sit on my front porch and I'm sitting in the rocking chair and I'm saying, God, you know, this just ain't working here today. I'm having trouble with me today. Come. Adjust my attitude. And He lovingly will come and He will adjust your attitude. Let Him show you in His Word. Let Him reveal these things to you. And He will. I guarantee it. Because He loves you. And He loves me. Every time He's using one of us, He's using one of us who had a history. But what's happened to your history in Jesus? He's baptized it. He's washed it white as snow. When the evil one comes and reminds you about your past, what are you supposed to do? Remind him of his future. Let's pray together. Lord, today, come before you. I want to thank you for your presence here, how you're speaking to us. Thank you. We're thanking you in advance for what you're going to do in our lives. Our world needs to see us with an attitude fixed on Jesus. Come with power. Come with strength. Come to us today. For some of us that have given up hope, I'm praying, Lord, a renewal, a metamorphosis of our attitude. In the name of Jesus, we pray. The altar's open. My desire.
Yeah.
Look this way, if you will. I'm praying a blessing over you today, a blessing that comes from obedience to the Lord. Everything that the Lord has spoken to you, I'm praying that Velcro prayer for it right now. It'll stick. And all the other stuff will drop away. Today I don't want a messenger to have gotten in the way of the message. So pray that prayer right now. Lord, may you do that. And send us out with hope and love and renewal to a world that's dying and going to hell and needs Jesus. Bless you. I love you.